Newsmakers on WRJN.
Good afternoon. I am Pete Farrand, and welcome to Newsmakers. This hour is brought to you by Omni Orthopedic Physical Therapy, your body's mechanic working to keep you active and fit for life because you're a classic. They're not making any more like you. Whether that's good or bad remains to be determined. But anyway, we have some provocative thoughts for you today. In our second half of the show, we hear from Pulitzer Prize-winning author Steve Faneroo. Works for the Washington Post and has written a book about mercenaries in Iraq and the fact that nobody cares about what they are or what they do except the Iraqis who try to kill them. Before that, though, something a little less violent. We've got the founder of a company called Planet Resource Recovery Incorporated. And the purpose of the company right now is to develop and market a product that he says will greatly increase the amount of oil that can be pumped out of a given oil well. So I don't suppose a whole lot of folks listening here today have oil wells in their backyards, but it's a good thing to know about because, of course, we're all subject to the whims of all sorts of entities around the world who would like to control our oil, and obviously nobody here wants that. So let me introduce to you Mr. Kurt Niebauer in Houston, Texas. Kurt, hi, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Pete. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, and it is Niebauer, right?
Hey, dead on.
Okay, excellent. All right, the webpage is planetresource.net, by the way. We'll give that out again, but okay, if anybody wants to follow along. So what you're doing, actually, is selling a product that people who own wells put down the wells, and it releases more oil from the ground, right?
Well, that's basically the gist of it. The product is something we've been developing, or has been in development for over 15 years. We're just bringing it to the market here in 08. What we're finding it does is it from a standpoint of the equipment on the well, from the mechanical side, it's reducing corrosion, causing the equipment to work better, to work more smooth, to last longer, fewer breakdowns. It's also, at the same time, because of its surfactant-like qualities, which is, I guess you would call a surfactant, is in a
soap.
Typical method, it's like a soap.
Yeah.
It releases oil from native soil or its native environment. Through an electrical charge, and causes it, so when that oil is released and floating freely in the reservoir, that allows the harvesting to become much easier.
Now, one of the
not clinging to anything.
Yeah, that's the oil, heavy crude oil as pumped from the ground, is obviously very, very viscous.
Very viscous and very sticky.
And it sticks to the rocks underground. And what they're saying, what you're saying, is that most of the oil in a given area, I don't know, there's I'm sure a term for it, but most of the oil in the oil equivalent of a watershed, most of the oil in a given place is stuck to the rocks and will remain stuck to the rocks even after the oil reserve is pumped out. So the well will be pumped dry or essentially dry, but most of the oil is still there.
Well, the government even recognizes this in their efforts. They're actually out there saying too that two-thirds of all the oil discovered thus far in the world, not just here, but in the entire world, is still in the ground. This is one of the things we've been embarking on. There's a lot of enhanced oil recovery out there, and that's the reason for it. That's why so much investment's been made in it, because there's still so much oil under the ground. If you look at the economy of scale, if you look at the economies that have already been built on oil for the last 100-plus years, and just still there's another two times more of that that's still already found. It's already explored.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be brought up.
Yeah, and the equipment is there. The pumping equipment is already there. The piping is there to carry it away, or the transfer system to carry it to the trucks,
whatever.
The
infrastructure's in place already.
Right, yeah.
And so we don't have to go back and revisit that, except for probably just bring it up to speed and mechanically fit
and bring it up to current safety and other standards, of course.
Right.
But also the properties, the leases are all in order, and all of this stuff is all set. You don't need to deal with zoning.
Well, we're not spending any more money on exploration.
Right, yeah, that's a certainly big thing. Now, one way to deal with this sticky oil issue is what they are doing in Alberta, and the oil sands issue is just take strip mining equipment and rip it all up.
Well, that's one way to do it, too, and we actually have tried. We have worked with the tar sands that have come out of Utah, and we have found a way to strip the oil out of the tar sands and strip virtually all, that's a big statement, 99.6% of all of the tar sands in the sample that we did. And we did this without heat. And we did this in under 20 minutes.
Because
this was done by an independent laboratory in Salt Lake City, so we have independent confirmation of this. They also confirmed too that the quality of the oil that we stripped away was what they call a naphtha quality, which is a very low grade fuel in itself, and it doesn't take a lot of processing to become a gasoline product. And it was low in a lot of the problems they have up there, low in nitrogen and sulfur and some of the other issues that are a drawback to that. But who's gonna strip mine to the state of Utah?
Well, yeah, that's right. You can't. Yeah, and you guys down in Texas, it just doesn't make sense to do that. Now, traditionally, we do the same. We do some method of hydrocracking and hydrofracture and so forth with our wells, whether they're water wells or oil wells, doesn't matter. The idea is to high pressure in the well casing effectively, and then it breaks up the ground.
Allow the oil to seep out.
Yeah.
And have a place to go. Yeah, and that's another area where we're learning that we're going to shine, and that is not now in the recovery of the oil, but now in all that water that's being used to hydrofrack. Ends up becoming what they call produced water or flowback water, which is heavily contaminated now.
Well, yeah, there's and people don't realize, and I don't even know what the actual numbers, but there's a huge amount of water involved. There's swimming pools worth
millions
of water involved.
Gallons are done in one individual fracking.
How much millions?
Operation.
Millions?
Over a million gallons
yeah.
in many cases is used in one fracking operation, which is done in one day.
And then you have to take that water and do something with it such that it doesn't pollute whatever.
Well, it's a problem. What they've done in the past is basically had to pump it down permitted deep wells.
Oh, my.
And even now that is really being looked at on a cautionary level by the state,
yeah,
the state level.
Because absolutely nobody knows where that's going to go.
They also don't know what all's, they know what's in it, and none of this stuff is any good for humankind or nor animals either. So
right, sure.
It's a real problem, and of course the concern is getting into our groundwater. And that's another area that our product, Petroluxus, is having an impact that we're learning, and we've also been in the process of quantifying results, is we're removing the oil that's entrained in that water. We're also removing a great deal of the heavy metals, which are your arsenic, your chromiums, the old thing from Aaron Brockovich, hexvalent chrome. Mm. We are able to part that from the water and actually recover it. So we're doing a lot of things there, and the one thing that we're still working on, but we do have, we're working on a process for, is for the removal of haloids or chlorides from the water. Once we've got that, then we have a full solution for the industry, which is a very major problem because a lot of water is just being set into tanks because they don't know what to do with it.
Okay, we're talking to Kurt Neubauer of Planet Resource Recovery. If you have a question on the oil patch, give us a call at 634-975-6634-WRJN. Now, this is what you're doing. The idea is you can recover substantially more oil out of existing oil wells. Tell me how this product works and how much you need of it. You're actually selling this, and I imagine it comes in barrels. It's a liquid in barrels?
Right, we sell it either in we depending on application. We have three applications we're working with. One is a what we call well clean, and a well clean is a simple application, a single standalone well. It runs around 250 gallons to do. We sell it by the gallon, and we basically let this go through the well formation and rinse itself out. It gets the near well bore, what they call the cone of the well.
Hang on, you're getting into a few terms that I'm not real familiar with, and I don't think anyone else
is. In other words, it'll clean about a 10 to 20-foot radius around the well, including the pipe and also the lower pump and all of the idiocentric mechanics that go with that.
Right, so what the customer does, he takes these 250 gallons of liquid and just basically pours it down the well, or not?
That's correct. We put it down what they call the backside of the well. It can go down either the tubing of the well, or it can go down the actual casing. Either one. We let it sit in there. We mix this with a percentage of an amount of water. And so we use it basically depending on how heavily soil that is, how much problem we've got, a 1% to 3% solution mixed with water.
I see.
What we send down the well.
Okay, so you're sending down that and a whole lot of water.
Correct.
Compared to the, okay, if it's 250.
And it's just like a washing machine. We're letting it cycle and go back through the system and just regurgitate and just go over and over and over and over. And it's taking the perforations, which are in the pay zones. This is where the oil is collected.
Mm-hmm.
Those perforations get embedded with asphaltenes and different foreign materials, including wax, paraffin, whatever.
Sure, whatever's down there.
And this will clean all this up. Also, calcium is a problem in wells. All of this stuff is going to be reduced, and we're going to reduce this stuff down to its molecular level,
and
where it can be pulled out.
After it sits for a day or two, just start the pump up again and start pumping, right?
Back everything off to their tanks, correct, to their typical setup where there's a water tank and a collection tank,
and then
let it go back on full production. It's going to take 3 or 4 days, sometimes up to 2 weeks, to back all that water out. It depends on the depth of the well. The formulation is based on surface, on total volume.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
We could spend up to 2 weeks just backing the water out of the well.
Sure. Okay.
But once that happens, you're going to notice that your percentage of oil, what they consider the oil cut to the amount of water or total fluid being picked up, is going to improve, and that's what we've seen. And we've had we've been working with a company down here in Houston, out west of Houston, in a very hard non-porous formation called the Austin Chalk down here, and we've been getting some good results. So we've taken wells that have declined in production from down to 80 barrels a month, and have improved those back into 270 to 280, 290, over 300. I think our best month was well over 400. So,
and this continues for.
So far, it's gone for 8 months.
8 months, but it's continuing. It doesn't. It's not dropping off.
It's not dropping off, which we're having to say and scratch our heads. Say, wait a minute, we're selling this stuff, so we have to draw a line in the sand ourselves and say this will probably end up being a twice a year treatment.
Well, yeah, because you really don't know what's under there, so
you
really.
What we've learned, Pete, is every formation is an island.
Sure,
everyone is a little bit different. Not enough that we have to make major changes in the way we approach them, but just enough that they're going to give us a different result sometimes.
Right. So you can't really say confidently that you can double or triple the output of the well, or double or triple the daily output of the well.
And we never really do.
No.
What we say what we're going to do is clean the well up.
Yeah.
We're going to reduce corrosion in the well, which is one of the facets of the chemical, one of the characteristics.
What is it that corrodes?
Well, there's oxygen down there. There's also oxygen breeds enzymes and different things that grow off, bacteria, and these all cause problems.
Well, yeah, but
And there's a lot of corrosion, like sulfur and H2S in a well. H2S is
Kurt, are you talking about the ferrous materials in the well pipes and equipment,
well,
or are you talking about
exactly.
corrosion
we're
in
gonna,
the...
We're going to put a coating on all the metal parts down there.
Are you talking about coating corrosion in the rocks?
This is corrosion that's found in the oil itself, which is just constantly at work on all the metal workings of the well. When you have a well, you have balls and seats and cocks, lower pumps, all these
sure.
things. They get pitted with this.
Okay, that's what I wanted to say. What you're talking about is this is reducing the corrosive aspects of the oil on the metal parts of the well.
That's correct.
Okay,
we coat that part so that the oil will no longer adhere to it or have a negative
sure.
effect on it. And what we've seen here, what we've learned, we've had operators say that one of the reasons we're getting more oil is because prior to the treatment of our product, our fields were only producing half the month. Now they're producing the whole month. And so we get some pretty unusual comments that they, I don't know if we're getting more oil, but we're pumping more days. Instead of pumping 10 days a month, we're pumping 30.
Because
we're getting three times the oil we got, but we're not sure it's enhanced oil. Well, I don't know what enhanced oil looks like.
No, that's sort of...
You have more oil at the end of the day.
The other 20 days of the month, they'd be doing maintenance? Is that what they're saying?
Constantly, yeah. It's
okay.
A constant battle for these operators in marginal wells, keeping them running.
How does this Petroluxis material work? Is this based on nanotechnology in some way?
That's correct. It's it is nanotechnology, and we've been working on some new products that are, I don't quite even understand it myself, are considered micro nanotechnology, which means a nanotechnology for your listener is basically a molecule that's about 1/1000th the size of human hair.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're talking micro, we're talking 1/1000th of that. So
okay.
It's small stuff. We work on an electronic charge, actually a negative charge, and the material has a high negative charge. And what it does, you have to look at it like magnetism. you know, when you get magnets together and they have the same charge, they repel. When they have a negative and a plus, they draw. And what we do is change the polarity of the oil in the ground.
What is the nanotechnology aspect? Because what you're talking about sounds like it's a chemical bonding kind of thing more than anything else.
The chemical does bond to the metals and things. But what it does, basically, being so small, it can literally go into the formation and the permeability or the size of the porosity of how porous that material is can be very, very, very small, and we can still get through it. And that's what's happening, and that's where the nanotechnology comes into our benefit.
These molecules, basically, is what you've got in this fluid, is bonding to the oil and the other chemicals.
Well, it's not bonding. What it's doing is it's just like anything. It's like tag, you're it. It's going to come up. It's going to come in contact with it.
Yeah.
And it's going to change its polarity. That oil now is not going to act the same that it did. And where it was in the it was used to clinging to that formation.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's released itself from that formation.
Okay.
What's happening now is it's going to just drift in the formation until it finally comes to a point where it can be harvested.
Right, so it doesn't stick to the rocks anymore.
Right, and also our chemical actually makes the oil at the end of the day what we consider, what the term is called, I believe it's called colloidal.
Yes, okay.
Which means it will now repel the water. So once it comes out of the ground and is put into a storage tank, it's easily recovered and repelled against the water and the solution that's in it.
I'm sure people for 100 years have been trying to dissolve oil in order to accomplish this in one way or another.
Well, you know, they've tried everything. I mean, they've just tried, you know, from what we've read, you know, again, I'm not from the industry, as we talked earlier. I'm just, I guess, what do you want to call it, an entrepreneur?
Yeah, okay.
Learned is, you know, they've tried everything. The industry's tried everything. They put everything down a well, including walnuts, peanut shells. They've tried it all if it can get more oil out of the ground.
Right. The idea of the walnut shells would absorb some oil, I suppose.
I guess. I never really studied that one that far, but I know it's been done.
Yeah, but what you've got there, you discovered this. You discovered a scientist who had developed this.
It was an engineer, right. He was working, actually, when I ran across, just by being in the mix and out there looking around, because I've been on the prowl looking for something like this for about a decade, and I ran across a name by the name of Michael Smallwood, and so I began to search for him. I even went as far as hiring some people to go try to find him, and we did. They did, and he happened to be working for Valero Energy down in Aruba, of all places.
Yeah.
And so I opened up a line of communication with him and found out, you know, got some more information from him. And long story short of it is I brought him to Houston. He came to Houston and met me, and we made a deal. I bought the rights to the chemical. I bought the future rights,
uh-huh.
And I hired him as a lifelong employee,
okay,
of the company and my science officer. And he's been with me ever since, and we've now developed about seven variations of this product going forward.
And how did he come up with this idea?
Apparently, this has been a lifelong work of his. He's been working on it for 15 years, and he was working around this type of technology for years before that. And it's just something that has been very special to him. I've never really asked him why. You know?
Well. He probably came up, like a lot of engineers, they have an idea that says, this will work. I bet I can make this work. And then,
well, if it's like a lot of engineers are looking to try to figure out how to do something else, and in the process they go, well, gee, look at that.
Yeah, now without giving away any company secrets, which I assume are patented or in the process of getting patented.
Actually, Pete, we're Coca-Cola. We're trade secret.
Yeah.
What we're going to be patenting are the way we use the product.
Okay.
We're going to be using use patents. Or application patents.
How is this product created? And in very rough terms, I like I said, I don't want to get into the trade secret aspect, but
well, I won't tell you. So we're cool.
Yeah.
Basically, how's it? It is. It is made from all natural products.
Okay.
And all the products are known EPA green products.
Yeah.
That's why we know we're an environmentally friendly product.
Yeah.
We're one of the few.
Right.
We're inorganic chemistry as far as it goes, not organic chemistry.
Sure.
Organic chemistry is probably the most primary use chemistry in the oil and gas industry.
Yeah.
And we're scaring people.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm interested here is this something that is mixed up, or how do you create nanotech?
Oh, we brew it. It's a production process. That was in the first year when I started the company, my first investments were into, can we get this, how can we make this more than in a coffee can in a lab environment?
Yeah, of course.
We have to make thousands of gallons of this stuff. Can we do that? And so the first 12 to 18 months was spent just getting that very main thing done.
Down right,
in a little community south of Houston called Pearland, I leased some industrial space.
Yeah.
And we began, and that's what we did. We have a production pilot plant down there that can make about 2,500 gallons a day.
Okay. Well, that's enough to make money on.
So it took us 5 days to make one batch of material. Now we do it in 24 hours.
All right. Let's try a question. Hi, we're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Very interested in what you're doing. What's the lifespan? All right, three-part question. What's the lifespan of the stuff you're making?
Okay, let's try that question first, Kurt.
So far, the shelf life, according to my engineer, to Michael, we've been trying and continuing to test product that's been made over 10 years, if you're talking about shelf life.
Okay, I was more concerned with after it's been used.
What we've seen right now is the fact that we made an injection on a particular single well in February of this year, and we didn't go back and re-inject it until September. So, and it was still producing at a rate of three times volume of oil up to that point.
Okay, so there's basically no after effects once it breaks down.
No. It's kind of like a gunpowder. It uses itself up.
Okay, so it's basically self-depleting.
Correct.
Cool.
That's a better word for it.
Yeah,
you're much better at this than I am.
Well, while I was listening, I was going through all this, so I had time to choose my words.
Think about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Is there a possibility of, say, producing this mass market for soap for grease monkeys?
For hand cleaning, you mean?
Yeah, hands, tools.
Okay.
The only problem with that, to be very, very candid with you, is I just don't want to have to go deal with all the federal controls of getting there. We're trying to get a product to market now, not 5 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to go through UL, you've got to go through all these good housekeeping, whatever you want to call it, in order to become a consumable product to the consumer, which I'm not opposed to. But it's not primarily on our agenda.
Yeah, can't do everything, I guess. So. But it would work, wouldn't it?
It is a degreaser. There's no doubt about it.
It is basically, and that's basically what it's doing. It's degreasing the rock.
Here's how you have to look at this, Pete. The difference between us and a typical soap or surfactant, even in the industry here, is when you think about a detergent or your cleaning soap and your oily dishwater.
Yeah.
What that does is break that oil down, so it will go down the drain and be take the problem away.
Yeah.
We don't break the oil down. We break the oil free of its environment, but keep it intact so it's a commodity. It can be resold as a commodity.
And stays.
So it's not lost. I mean, there's a lot of companies out there that offer stuff that will break oil away and do all these different things with the oil from its environment that it's in, but at the same time, it breaks it down.
Yeah, it's not oil. Once you degrease oil, it's not oil anymore. It doesn't
have
the lubricant properties.
You change the scope of what it is, it really becomes useless at that point.
Yeah, it doesn't lubricate and it doesn't burn. Okay, sir, thank you very much for the call.
One quick question. Have you got a phone number where somebody can contact you?
I was giving out the webpage of planetresource.net.
Yeah, we're in Houston, sir. It's 281-996-5315. That's an easy question, and I was going to answer that, Pete.
Okay.
Okay, I got 996-5315. 5315.
Okay, sir.
Okay,
thank you very much. Appreciate it. We are out of time. Thank you very much, Kurt Nybauer.
You're welcome.
And most encouraging, I wish you good luck, and be interested to see how this proceeds.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye now. Kurt Nybauer, and that is spelled Neubauer. The boss at planetresource.net. Planet Resource Recovery is the name of the company. Product is called Petroluxus, and I thank you for the phone calls. We're going to talk about disasters in Iraq. forthwith.
News Talk 1400 WRJN.